Father, we thank you that we can come to you just as we are, and we need to be reminded of that. And we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together once a week to be reminded of just how good you are and how accepting and loving and gracious you are. And God, that through sometimes when it can be a week of where we've put up our defenses, we've tried to be strong, or we've pretended that we've have it all together, that we can come and be reminded that we can be ourselves before you, and we can come as we are. And that you know us, you created us, you want what's best for us, whether it's the fact that we need to confess, or we need to change, or we need to ask for forgiveness, or we need to forgive someone else. Whatever it is that needs to happen in our lives, God, you know it. And I just pray for an awareness of where we are, and that you would shine your light on the corners of our heart and our mind that oftentimes we can keep hidden and don't even realize it. So, Lord, we come before you as needy people, and we ask that through the opening of your word, that your spirit would continue to speak to us and show us who you are and who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome. It's good to see you here this morning. We are, this morning, we're going to be looking at a couple different passages. One of them in Matthew 28, if you want to turn on your device or in your Bible to Matthew 28. We're going to be talking about baptism this morning. And maybe you hear that and you're like, well, that's not the most, exciting topic that I was hoping that we might hear this morning was about baptism, because maybe you've already been baptized and you feel like you've got a good understanding of that. Maybe you have not. Maybe you have been baptized, but there's other people in your life that haven't, and they can depend on you for guidance. So I hope that wherever you are this morning, that this is helpful for you. As we talk about baptism, it's one of those areas that probably what you believe about being baptized or baptism is more than likely based on your tradition, how you grew up, what you've experienced. Some of you, if I were to ask you, what do you understand or know or believe about baptism, you would say, well, I know the scripture says this, or Jesus said this, or Jesus did this, and it would really be based on what the scripture has to say. Some of you, that would be true. For many of us, it would be more like, well, I grew up Presbyterian, I grew up Catholic, I grew up Episcopal, I grew up Baptist, and this is kind of what baptism looked like, and this is what I believe. So wherever you're coming from, hopefully today will be helpful for you. And the goal of today, and I'll tell you this right up front, and I'll tell you again in the middle, and I'll tell you again at the end, that the goal today is hopefully, if you have said yes to Jesus, to follow him in a relationship, surrendered your life to him, that you would today, hopefully that today would be encouraging and meaningful to you, and that you would say, yes, I want to be baptized. I want to do that. And so as we talk about baptism and our backgrounds, sometimes you may hear me talk about baptism today, and if you come from a different background, it can be easy to be defensive a little bit, because when we hear someone say that, your practice may be different from mine, that's true for all of us. I grew up Baptist. I thought that because we had Baptist in our name and we were talking about baptism, that we had it all figured out. I thought that everybody in the world baptized, there was baptism like we baptized. You may come from an Orthodox tradition or Catholic tradition, like a Presbyterian. You may have done it a different way. I have Catholic friends, and I've had Catholic friends over the years who, when their children are born, feel like they need to get their children baptized quickly, because that's been their tradition. Some of them not even in church, not really even involved actively in their church, and haven't for a long time. But because it was part of their tradition that the infants are baptized, they have felt like that when their children were born, they need to get them baptized, because that belief system and that practice is that baptism, in their theology and that practice, is that baptism equals salvation. And so if my baby is 6 weeks old, 8 weeks old, whatever, and I get them baptized, then that assures me that if something were to happen to them, that they'll go to heaven. Now, that is not the way that we practice, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more in a minute. But just hear me say this. This is not an attack on anybody's tradition, but just an opportunity for us to look into the scripture and talk about what we believe that Jesus was saying, that the scripture is saying. And so I understand what your background may be, and it's really easy to kind of be defensive. Now, whatever your background is, when it comes to baptism, and most people that call themselves Christian practice baptism in some sort of way, Most of us, whether you're Presbyterian, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, it comes from this passage of why we think it's important, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples after he's been crucified, after he's been resurrected, and he's spending about 40 days on earth. I know it sounds a little different if you haven't heard that before, haven't read that before. He's in his resurrected form, and the scripture says that he spent 40 days with the disciples in and out, teaching them before he went back into heaven. And so one of his last teachings was this, Matthew 28, that you've already turned to, and it'll be up here on your screen. Matthew 28, verse 19 says this, "Therefore," Jesus speaking to the disciples, some of his last words, so you know it's important, "go and make disciples of all nations." Now, Jesus says three things here, and the three things he says is kind of like a blueprint for our growth as followers of God, okay? The first thing he says is go make disciples, meaning I want you to share this good news about who I am so that people can become Christians, all right? Second is this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you've been to baptism services before, different locations, and you saw someone sprinkled or taken into the water at whatever location, and you heard somebody say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you thought, well, you know, that's, I hear that often, and that's kind of a church traditional thing to say. It's kind of a spiritual thing to say, a good thing to say, but really it's more than that. This is where that comes from. It actually comes from Scripture, because Jesus says, I want you to win people. I want you to share the gospel with people so that they come to know me. Then I want you to baptize them in the name of my Father, in my name, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes into verse 20 and he shares the third thing. He says, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So what's he saying? I want you to win people. I want you to share the good news and see people become Christians. I want you to baptize them. And then I want you to teach them and help them grow. And so Jesus kind of lays it out here for his disciples. Now, this same passage that he's talking to his disciples is written for us. Because if you're a follower of him, we're his disciples. So Jesus is in essence saying to us, I want you to go make disciples. And I want you to baptize them. And I want you to teach them. Now we're going to talk about why would being dipped in water, I mean, you look at that from the outside and you're like, well, this looks like more church tradition than anything. But when we begin to look at the scriptures, it's very, Jesus has said, I want you to do this. Why would it be important to Jesus for us to do this? All right, so that's what we're going to kind of look at. Again, hopefully this will be encouraging to you as you make your decision about being baptized if you've already become a Christian. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about a little Greek word. Now, I know that for some people, when you hear a speaker or a preacher begin to talk about Greek, you're like, oh, great. Now I'm going to show off some Greek words. Well, listen, I can't show off. I took 12 hours of Greek, 6 hours of Hebrew. Can't tell you a thing about them unless I go read a book this morning or this week to tell you about it. Can't remember that. Just couldn't retain it. All right. It wasn't good for me. But here's the deal. When it comes to the word baptism, let me back up just a little bit. The Old Testament was written 3,500 years ago over a course period of probably 750,000 years, written in Hebrew. All right. New Testament was written about 2,000 years ago over the period of about 100 years by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, other authors, and it was written in Greek. So thankfully for you and I, some translators came along over the years and they translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into English. And there are people who still translate today. You'd think that all these years later that every language in the world, that the Bible would be translated. There are people that are actively translating today into languages that we're just discovering, of people groups around the world that we're just discovering who have languages of their own. So fortunately, somebody translated that for us. And so when they did, and they looked at Greek words in the New Testament that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, somebody wrote down, and they saw the word theos, they would write God. And if they saw the word pneuma, they would write spirit. And if they saw the word logos, they would write word. So it was word for word translation. Okay, that's how it worked. Occasionally, they would come across a word that they'd look at that word and they'd be like, there's no English word that means that word. So what does this word mean? How do we explain it? And so sometimes what they would do when there was no exact word in English, they would just take that word and make it an English word. So the word was baptizo. to be baptized. Jesus said, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, baptizoing them. And so they said, there's no word for that, so let's just take the Greek letters, B-A-P-T-I-Z, and they just kind of translated that and created an English word for us. Now, in the beginning, that word in Greek can be translated to two different things. See, in the beginning, it wasn't baptism, because baptism started happening with John the Baptist, right? See, he was baptizing people. But before that, you would hear about people washing. They would wash something, and the word was baptizo. So it really has two different meanings. Somebody would dip something. If you took a garment and dipped it into a dye, because you wanted to dye it, you were baptizoing it. If a ship sunk and went into the water, it was baptizoed. There's second century writings, 200 years after the New Testament was written. A philosopher is writing down how to make pickles, all right? And he says, you take the vegetable and you baptizo it in the boiling water. All right, that's what you dip it, right? And then you take that same vegetable, that cucumber, and you baptizo it in the vinegar. You dip it, and then it's saved and go to heaven. That's what we know. No, I'm joking. That's not what he said. He just said, that's how you make pickles. That's what happens. So that's what he's saying is it's a word for wash. Now, even in the New Testament, when Jesus is speaking and when Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John are writing, they even use the word baptizo for wash. Let's look at this example here in Mark 7. It'll be up here on your screen. And Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about religious leaders, and he says, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they baptizo. Now, he's not saying they don't eat unless they get baptized. He's saying they don't eat unless they wash. And although they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Again, the word wash is baptizo. Let's go on for another example. And this is a Pharisee talking about Jesus, Luke 11. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not baptizo before the meal. Now, he's not saying that he noticed that Jesus was not baptized before the meal. He noticed that Jesus was not, he did not wash before the meal. Now, here comes the question. When you're translating the New Testament, how do you know which one to use, wash or baptize? How do you know that this is a washing instance, not a baptism is? How do you know that this is a baptizing example or scene, and we say baptize and not wash? And so we know that Jesus said, to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now, the opposite has the effect. It would sound weird if Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, washing them in the name of the Father. It's not what he said. So what happens is there's a time where baptizo takes on a spiritual, life-changing meaning to it. And that, let me explain that just a little bit of history. In the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, all those many books of the Old Testament, I think 44, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Okay, first book of the New Testament is Matthew. And between Malachi and Matthew is 500 years where we have no writings. Some people refer to that as the 500 years of silence. There were prophets, priests, kings, all through the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus, talking about the Messiah. The Old Testament law was given to us so that we would know that we have a need for a Savior. Then there's 500 years of silence. Now, just think about how long that is. That's a long time. I just celebrated my 49th birthday. I feel like I've been on this earth a long time. And so 500 years of silence. And during that time, what happened was Gentiles, and a little bit in the Old Testament too, Gentiles would go visit Jerusalem. Now, just to kind of review, a Gentile is anybody that's not Jewish, okay? If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Anybody that's not Jewish is a Gentile. So in the Scripture, it talks about Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles would visit Jerusalem for business or pleasure, whatever it was, and there were Gentiles from around the world that were coming to Jerusalem, and you know what they wanted? They wanted to become Jewish, because they really respected the Jewish people, how they worshipped. The people of the Jewish faith in that day and time were the only people in the known world in all of their surroundings that worshipped only one God. Everybody worshipped multiple gods. So Gentiles would come and they were like, the devotion of these people I really respect. The way they celebrate certain feast days and ceremonies devoted to God, the sacrifices that they make for their sin. People would say, well, I think I want to become Jewish. Well, you know and I know that to be Jewish means you're born Jewish. It's a race of people. It's also a religion. It's also a culture. It's also a nation. There's no people like it in the whole world. And God created them for a purpose. All right. So there's no nation like it. So to say I want to become Jewish is kind of bold because you're born Jewish. But people of the Jewish faith in that time were like, you know what? We get it. We get it that you want to that you respect our customs. And so if you can agree to go through some certain processes, then you can become Jewish. And so one of those things would be, OK, we have these folks and you want to become Jewish. That's good. So these are just some things that you need to do. It's OK. But here's some things you need to do. You need to make a sacrifice. And it's kind of a part of a almost kind of a part of an initiation. You need to agree that you believe the Old Testament, that you believe the law, and that you commit your life to living according to the law. That was another thing that they did. And if you were a male, you need to be circumcised. And I won't go into that, or half the guys in here would walk out. So you need to be circumcised. That's what has to be a painful process when you're older. And so that's one thing that you need to do. And another thing that you need to do would be this. You need to participate in a ceremonial washing. Now, the word for that was baptizo. Now, this washing was a little bit different. This was, listen, I'm going from being a Gentile to a Jew. And nobody washed you. Nobody dipped you. Nobody was with you. You did it on your own. And you washed yourself. And part of that washing was, it was symbolic of, I'm washing my Gentileness away and I'm becoming Jewish. I'm washing my old life away and I'm becoming Jewish. I'm washing my sinfulness away and I'm becoming Jewish. That was a part of Jewish practice, all right? And it's documented in different parts of the world. Now let's fast forward, all right? Got that period in between the Old Testament and New Testament. Let's fast forward to AD 30. There's a guy that comes on the scene. He's wild looking. He's got wild hair and a leather belt. And he's eating locusts and wild honey and wearing animal skins. And he's out in the desert by the Jordan River and he's preaching. And you know him, and you know who I'm, many of you know who I'm talking about. His name is John, not the brother of Jesus, but the cousin of Jesus, John. And he's out, and he's preaching a message. And it's a message, listen, for you and I, in our faith, in our relationship with God, the journey of that from creation, from Adam to today, this was a pivotal moment in what we believe today, in our faith journey. Because John the Baptist was saying something that nobody had ever heard. He's preaching to Jewish people, people that are followers of the Jewish faith, and he's saying this. Listen, there's three parts to this sermon. Repent, second part's repent, and third part's repent. That was his sermon. That's what he preached. And he would say this, listen, you may be Jews by birth, but you know what? That's not enough. Because you're thinking, because you're Jewish, you've got it in with God. You've got an inside track. You're secure. You're in right standing with God. And he said, you know what? Just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you're in right standing with God. And then he said this. Listen, you're children of Abraham. But you know what? That's not enough. It's not enough to be children of Abraham. You don't have right standing with God just because you're a child of Abraham. You go to temple worship, but you know what? That's not enough. It's not enough to go to temple worship and think that you have right standing with God. And what John the Baptist was saying was this, listen, we're talking about a heart issue. And we know that through the Old Testament, that there is one that's been promised a Savior who will forgive us of our sins. Now, I want to tell you, John said, he is before me because he's always existed in heaven with God, and he will come after me. Now, if you were if you read about John the Baptist, and some of us read about that during the Christmas season, because John is born around the same time Jesus is born, and we talk about that in the Christmas story. The angel told John the Baptist, told his parents this, listen, John, your son is going to be born, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to be a forerunner. He's going to go out in front of Jesus. And the angel kind of used this illustration. He's going to make crooked paths straight. And he's going to make he's going to make every place smooth and level. What's he doing? He's preparing the way. Why? He's preaching, listen, get your heart ready. Get your mind ready. He's on his way. And I'm not even worthy to untie sandals. People would come to John and say, are you the Messiah? And he'd say, absolutely not. The Messiah is coming, and I'm not him. And he is going to save us from all of our sins. And so John is preaching at the Jordan River. He's preaching this baptism of repentance. And he's saying, listen, you need to turn from your life. You need to turn from your sins. This is a heart issue. Doesn't matter how you were born. Doesn't matter where you worship. Doesn't matter who your daddy is. Doesn't matter what your tradition is. You have to have a heart change to have a relationship with Jesus. And listen, if you've had that heart change, John would say, I want you to come down here in this water, and I want you to show people that your life has been changed, that this is not literally washing your sins away, but it's a symbol that your life has been changed. That's what he was saying. I want you to come down here and come in the water and go in the water as a symbol of the fact that your life has been changed. And so there were, you know, there were kids playing on the riverbank, and there were people lined up to be baptized, and John was wet, and there were doubters. I mean, there was people in the crowd that were saying, these are a bunch of fanatics. I mean, it was just a little bit of everybody. It was there. You know, that's just kind of the scene. That's what it was like. And all of a sudden, John looks up on the bank, and he says these words. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's looking at Jesus. Jesus is standing there. And he's pointing people, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus walks down to where John is, and John had just said, this is the Messiah. They probably didn't. Not everybody picked up on it. This is the Lamb of God. He is the promised one that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus comes down into the water, and Jesus asks John to baptize him. And you know what John said? He's pretty much like, whoa. I mean, no. I mean, there's two of us in the water, and there's only one sinner. And I'm that. And if anybody needs to be baptized, it's I need to be baptized by the Messiah. I need to be baptized by the Son of God. I need to be baptized by the one that's perfect. You baptize me, Jesus. I don't baptize you. And Jesus said, and this is specifically the words that he said in Scripture, is so important for you and me, because as we begin to ask, why is it important to be baptized? Jesus said to John the Baptist, it is necessary. It is necessary, John, for you to baptize me, so that righteousness will be fulfilled. And Jesus, 3 years later, at the end of his life, right before he goes back to be with the Father, and he's talking to the disciples for the last time, you know what he's saying? He's saying, go make disciples. It's necessary. It's necessary to be baptized. Baptize them. And it's necessary for you to teach them so that they can grow. And so that's what he's saying. And so he says it's necessary. And John baptizes Jesus. Now, what does it mean for righteousness to be? Why was it necessary? Why was it necessary for righteousness to be fulfilled? Well, Jesus is doing this. Jesus is not, he doesn't have any sin. It's not like he needs any sins washed away. And baptism doesn't wash away sins anyway. It's not that he's turning over a new leaf, that he has an old, you know, he rebelled toward God and now he's committing his life to God. That's not really it. But he's doing this. He's saying this. Listen, everything that John is saying is true. And I want everybody here to know that my life is devoted to this God that John's talking about. That's what he's saying. So he says, listen, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. I want everybody here to know. I want you to see publicly that I agree with this message. Now, that is how baptism begins. All right? So I want to offer you just kind of three summary statements as we think about baptism and what it means for us. The first one is this. It's that baptism is a personal declaration. Now, this is just a way to phrase it. You could phrase it a lot of different ways. Baptism is a personal declaration of a new association. I've heard people say it's an outward expression of an inward change. What does that mean? It means this. It means that you are saying personally in your heart, I have chosen to follow Jesus. Now, that's what we talked about last week. The whole day last week, we talked about what it meant to come to know Jesus, what Jesus has done for us. And so it's a personal declaration. I am. Nobody does it for you. You do it for yourself. You're saying, I have made a decision to follow Jesus. I believe he died on a cross for me. I receive his forgiveness. You know what you do? Two things. You believe and you receive. It's not complicated. Have you ever heard somebody present the gospel and you felt like there was 10 or 12 points and hoops you had to jump through? It's not. It's real simple. You believe what Jesus did for you, and you receive His grace and forgiveness. That's what it means to become a Christian. It's a personal decision. Now, that's why as we look into the Scripture and we look at, let's just say we look at all the New Testament. Do you know what we see in the New Testament? Over and over and over, we see people come to know Jesus. And you know what next happens? They're baptized. They come to know Jesus and they're baptized. People come to know Jesus and they're baptized. It happens over and over and over. It's the example of Scripture. It's also the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said, I want you to be baptized. And it's the example of Jesus. And that's why we don't see any examples really in the Scripture of infants being baptized. Because there's no evidence in the Scripture that children are held accountable to something that they don't understand yet. So really, the evidence in Scripture is this, is that once we come to a point where we can understand the decision we're making, then publicly we say, listen, I want everybody to know that I've decided to follow Jesus. That's what baptism is. Second thing is this, it's not just a personal declaration of a new association, it's a public declaration of a new association. Jesus is saying, you know what? It's wonderful that you know within your heart that you've made a new decision, that you've made a new association, that you're now a Christian, you've been saved, you're a follower of Jesus, all right? He's saved you. It's wonderful to know that personally, but you know what? It's not enough. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, it's enough to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But Jesus is saying, when it comes to you living your life, why is it that Jesus would want us to be baptized? Well, it's not because we could count noses, and it's not because of numbers, and it's not because anybody could brag about anything. Listen, the reason Jesus wants me to be baptized is He knows it would be good for me to stand publicly and say, I've chosen to follow Jesus. It was important for me to do that. Because, see, I could have just kept it to myself. But part of my growth, part of my following Him and wanting other people to know, part of my growing in Him was the willingness to do what He asked me to do, which is to stand. I didn't have to say anything, but I was saying something. By the fact that I went into the water, I was saying, by my example, my life is new. I've changed. There was an old Scott. Now there's a new Scott. And I want everybody to know that. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what Jesus was saying. Third thing is this summary statement is baptism is not a condition for salvation. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. It's evidence of salvation. All right? When Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves beside Him, and one thief said, well, he began to talk to Jesus, and you could tell that he knew who Jesus was, and he believed on Jesus. While he was on the cross, he was being crucified. He was about to die as well. And you know what Jesus said to him? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have to be baptized to go to heaven, right? Baptism is evidence of our salvation. It's not a condition for it. That's what it is. So the bottom line is this. If you're here this morning, and you've said yes to Jesus to follow Him, what I want to encourage you to do is to be baptized, is to follow Him in that step of obedience, in that step of growth for you. Now, don't be baptized because some part of you feels guilty, supposed to, have to, got to, any of that. But it's because I want to, because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus did more than stand up for me. And the least that I can do is stand up for Him. That's what I want to do. Now, here's a couple of things to keep in mind. The form is not so important. The timing is important. What do I mean by that? Form. Let's talk about form. Form means how you were baptized. And there's people that I've talked to many, many times that they've seen us baptize folks. I've baptized folks in swimming pools and churches and at the ocean and in the river, and people have said, you know, I've seen, you know, baptism where you go all the way under. Now, I was Presbyterian. I placed my faith in Jesus when I was a teenager, and later on, I was sprinkled to be baptized. Do I need to be baptized again? I always say no, because the form's not really important. It doesn't matter where you were baptized. It doesn't matter if you had water poured over you or you're sprinkled or you went under. The form really doesn't matter. The timing does matter. What do I mean by timing? Timing is that I was baptized after I placed my faith in Jesus. And the reason I say that is not because that's what Scott thinks. It's just that if you go back and look at the New Testament, so many examples of baptism, they all happened after someone said yes to Jesus. So form is not all that important. Timing, I would say, is important. And the first step, if you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, you know what? I'm ready to do that. I want to do that. You know, I've been waiting and I'm ready. What do I do? Well, the first step is this. In a few minutes, we're going to give you a handout if you don't already have one. And when you open that handout, it's threefold. On the far right-hand side, it says guests and next steps. And if you just write your name and write, I want to be baptized, what I'll do is we'll give you a call and we'll get together. We'll sit down and talk about how you came to know Jesus, what you understand about baptism, any questions that you might have, and then we'll set up a time for you to be baptized. That's what we'll do. So all you need to do is to take that next steps card, check that, and put it in the offering basket in just a minute. We'll do that here in just a few minutes when we send the offering basket around. This is what I want to encourage you with. Last thing is this. And some people will say, well, now, Scott, you're playing the Jesus card on us. But, you know, really every week we talk about Jesus. And we talk about what he did for us. But this is what I want you to understand. If you've been saved, if you've given your life to Jesus, but you've never been baptized, and I hear lots of people, reasons why they haven't been baptized yet, it's that I'm not ready to be baptized. You know, they're just not ready. Let me encourage you with this. If you're ready to follow Jesus with your life, you're ready to be baptized. Okay? You're ready. Now, there are fears that we have sometimes, and those are legitimate, you know, fears of standing up in front of people or, you know, being up here on the stage or being in front of people at the river or whatever it is. You know, I just have a fear of being in front. I understand that. You know, I have a fear of, you know, me coming up out of the water and my permanent just going like crazy and, you know, and all the clothes sticking to me. You know, we make sure that it's a very modest experience. Can't do anything about your permanent. Sorry about that. But I understand that. You know, there's some apprehension. But here's what I want you to understand, because this is the truth. And I love you enough to share the truth with you, is that Jesus died for you. He died for you. Jesus bled to death for me. And if I were to explain the details of the crucifixion this morning, some of us couldn't take it. We'd have to walk out. And the reality is, I can take all the reasons why I feel like maybe you're a man and you're 50 years old and you're thinking, my, I'd just be embarrassed. You take all your embarrassment, all your fear, and stack it up. And it will not stack up against what Jesus has already done for you. There is no comparison. And you know what? This is what I encourage you with. This is what's going to happen when you're baptized. You will speak, maybe not verbally, but you with your life. When you go into the water and you say, this is a symbol of my old life and my new life, I'm a follower of Jesus, you will speak to more people at that time than you may ever speak verbally about Jesus in your life. I hope you speak to a thousand thousands of people about Jesus verbally for the rest of your life. But there's a good possibility you will speak to more people in that event than you ever will for the rest of your life. And I promise you this, because it happens in every baptism. This is what will happen. You will be baptized, and there will be people there to see you baptized, and you will not remember their names in the future. But there will be people that will never forget your example, and it will help them in taking their next step of faith. That's just how God works. That's why we're baptized. It's a public declaration that I have chosen to follow the one that saved me and has given his life to save the world. That's why I'm baptized. Would you bow your head? If you bow your head, let's pray together for just a moment. God, I just thank you for these folks that are here this morning. And Jesus, we thank you for how much you love us and the fact that you died for us. And I thank you for this thing that sometimes is confusing, and We see different churches and different faiths practice different ways, and maybe we've heard it preached on or taught on in different ways where it just made us feel guilty. But God, I just pray that we would see the beauty of what an awesome worship experience it is for us to have the opportunity to do something very, very small for you, and you've done something so big for us. And so I pray that we would just see the reality and the truth of your scripture, the fact that you want good for us, that this is not about checking boxes and jumping through hoops, but this is about a relationship. And so, Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for how you grow us. And we know that you know that it's important for us to make a public stand. And I thank you for people that are here this morning. I pray for the courage to be able to do that for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'll just stay right where you are for about the next 5 minutes, this is what we're going to do. If you would like to be baptized, we're going to make sure that you have a handout this morning. And like I said, the far part of that handout says guests and next steps. Just write your contact info and check, I want to be baptized. Now, you may be here this morning and you have recently said yes to Jesus, to follow him as your Savior. That's what we talked about last week. And maybe if I could just have your attention for just a minute, because this is so important. Maybe this morning what you've decided to do is what John was telling those folks on the riverbank. Listen, it's not enough. Who your mom and daddy is and where you go to church, and it's not enough. You know what really is important? That your heart's changed. And maybe you want to talk about that, or maybe you've already done that. We'd love for you to let us know that. There's a place where you can check that, write that. Maybe you want to become a member here, or you want to be involved in a small group Bible study. You can check that on that card. There's another thing that you can do. You can give us a prayer request, something that's going on in your life that I don't know about, our staff doesn't know about. We'd love to be able to pray for you. On the back of that little piece of paper, it says, we value your feedback. We'd love to know what your experience has been like here this morning, what you've experienced in guest services and worship with Grove Kids, because we're always wanting to improve what happens here at the Grove. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to make sure all of you have one of these, because we're doing two things this morning. I want you to be able to respond and let us know any changes in your life. We do this about every couple of years. It's really important for us to do this. If all of you could fill out your information so that we make sure that we've got the most recent email address, cell phone numbers, physical address, so that we can stay in contact. If you're comfortable sharing that with us, we'd love for you to update that with us. So ushers, if you'll go ahead and pass these out. If you don't have one of these, the ushers are going to make sure that you get one, okay? They're going to pass these out, make sure that everyone gets one. And if you would, do two things. Update your information and let us know about any decisions that you need to that you've made, any feedback that you can give us. And in a few minutes after you've filled that out, we'll take up the offering, okay? So just take some time to do that. Now that everybody's got one, if you'll just take a few minutes to fill that out, and then you can drop it in the offering basket here in just a couple of minutes. We'll come around. As you're filling that out, remember, if there's any prayer requests or feedback that you can give us, please give that to us as well. Pray as we get ready to take up our offering. If you would bow your head with me. God, thank you for the ways that you bless us. We don't have to worry about what we eat. We don't have to worry about what we wear or where we live. Probably there's a huge portion around the world that can't say that. And so I pray that we would be faithful in the ways that you've blessed us, and that the gifts that we give today, Lord, that you would use those to accomplish those three things Jesus talked about, to help people come to know you, to be baptized, to grow in you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use every penny toward that effort, that people's lives would be changed in our community and around the world because of our gifts today. Would you do that in Jesus' name? Amen. We're going to take up our offering. Thank you guys for your patience this morning. I know it's a different way to end the service. Appreciate you sharing your information with us. And just before we go this morning, just as an expression of the reminder of how good God is to us, let's just praise Him together this morning. God bless you. Have a good day and a good week. Come back next week.